It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.rir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The estimates show how really lopsided the funding requirements are with the over a 10-year period, all after all the number crunching's been done. It looks to us like Virginia, over 10 years, would pay $137 million towards the cost of the Medicaid expansion versus bringing in $20 billion of federal funding over a 10-year period. So it's really lopsided, with the bulk of the cost coming from federal funding, which would be a real economic driver in Virginia. And it's estimated that that money coming into the state could support 30,000 new jobs, and those jobs generate new revenue for the state. And as I described above, there are lots of state programs, the mental health services, indigent care services, health services provided to prisoners, and other aspects of state-funded health programs that could be offset by the Medicaid expansion and the federal dollars that are available to the state to fund the expansion for that population of lower-income, uninsured people in our state.
Health law attorney Jill Henkin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explains why Medicaid expansion is a great deal for Virginia, because the federal government will pay between 90 and 100% of the cost. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn why Congress needs to strengthen, not gut, the Lifeline cell phone program. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 214, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.rir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Advocates at the National Consumer Law Center have urged Congress to allow recent reforms to the Lifeline cell phone program to take hold before considering altering the program. The Lifeline program provides no-frills, basic cell phone service to households at or below 135% of poverty, around $26,400 a year for a family of three, and households participating in needs-based assistance programs such as Medicaid, SNAP, SSI, or the National School Lunch Free Lunch Program. Recent surveys of wireless Lifeline customers show that Lifeline participants are older adults, veterans, consumers with disabilities, and the unemployed or underemployed, who use their Lifeline service to find work. Low-income households are especially in need of this basic service that Lifeline offers. The poor have been hit especially hard during the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, resulting in an 11.4% increase in the number of people doubling up between 2007 and 2010, affecting 22 million households. Lifeline service is vital for self-sufficiency, with 70% of customers using it to look for work or to stay in touch with their employer. The 2010 overhaul of Lifeline put the program on a more secure footing and made it more uniform between states. As part of the 2012 reform, the Federal Communications Commission eliminated or adjusted services that were proving barriers to enrollment, tightened enrollment procedures for consumers, and created new requirements for telecommunications companies to prevent waste, fraud, and abuse. These reforms should address the weaknesses in the pre-reform program. According to the National Consumer Law Center, the Lifeline program is an essential service needed to allow poor households to connect with employers, emergency care, medical care, child care, schools, social service agencies, family, and community. The recent reforms made to Lifeline should be evaluated for effectiveness rather than gutting a vital program that is a literal lifeline for more than 16 million struggling households in the U.S. In Virginia, the Lifeline program is offered by at least two groups, SafeLink Wireless and Assurance Wireless. To contact SafeLink, dial toll-free 1-800-977-3768. To contact Assurance, dial toll-free 1-888-898-4888. Both plans are limited to 250 free voice minutes per month. Additional minutes are available at costs ranging from 2 cents to 10 cents per minute. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbrand. Current Medicaid coverage in Virginia is very limited. Virginia is 44th in the nation in parent eligibility and 48th in the nation in per capita Medicaid spending. Health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center explained how this could change in 2014 if Virginia chooses the Medicaid expansion, which would cover more than 400,000 currently uninsured adults, at a recent meeting of Virginia Legal Aid Attorneys, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here are Jill's comments.
So let's just keep moving on to our second topic for the day, which is the Medicaid expansion. And the big question is, will Virginia adopt the Medicaid expansion? As I mentioned earlier, our current Medicaid coverage is really limited, very limited. We're ranked 48th nationally in per capita Medicaid spending. That eligibility for parents is really low. It's under $10,000 a year for a family of four. And those childless adults who, you know, they're not parents living with their kids, they're not pregnant, they're not elderly, disabled, or blind, there's no coverage at all for childless adults in Virginia. And that new optional coverage for adults, for people under age 65, could go as high as 138% of poverty, that 133% plus 5% disregard, which would be a significant, a huge increase in the income levels. For example, for a family of four, right now the parents only get coverage if the family's income is under $10,000 a year, and it would jump up to almost $32,000 a year. So it's a significant, a huge change in income eligibility through the Medicaid program, and all the estimates show that up to 400,000 low-income adults in Virginia could be covered if Virginia adopted the Medicaid expansion. Who are some of the people who could qualify for the expansion? Well, we know that there are about 22,000 individuals who get mental health services right now through community services boards, and those are services that are currently paid for with state and local dollars. Well, a lot of those folks are those childless adults with income under 138% of poverty who could get Medicaid. Older adults who don't yet qualify for Medicare because they're under age 65, there's over 60,000 uninsured adults who fall into that age range who are also lower income who could get Medicaid if we expanded coverage. Disabled folks, the individuals who are declared disabled by Social Security but are waiting for 24 months before they can receive their Medicare, they have lots of health care needs, but they don't currently qualify for that 80% category or through the spend down program, they're basically left uninsured. Many of them could qualify for Medicaid if Virginia expands coverage. Of course, the income level jumps for those low-income working parents who right now have to have income below 30% of poverty. They could qualify. And kids who age out of Medicaid at age 19, typically Medicaid just stops at age 19 unless they fall into, unless they're disabled or they fall into perhaps the foster care kids or adoption assistance kids. Most kids lose Medicaid at age 19, but they still have allergies or diabetes or other health problems, but they become uninsured right now. They are the folks who could qualify for coverage if Virginia expanded its program. And the opportunity is such an important one, not just for the health care of all those folks I just described, but because the federal government would pay 100% of the cost of this expansion for the first 3 years. So under the Affordable Care Act, that 100% federal funding goes until the end of 2016, and then it gradually reduces to 90% federal funding by year 2020. And this is a lot more generous than our current federal match, which is 50%. So right now, Virginia pays half and the feds pay half, but under the ACA for this Medicaid expansion, the federal government would pay much, much more. And the estimates show how really lopsided the funding requirements are with the over a 10-year period. After all the number crunching has been done, it looks to us like Virginia over 10 years would pay $137 million towards the cost of the Medicaid expansion versus bringing in $20 billion of federal funding over a 10-year period. So it's really lopsided with the bulk of the cost coming from federal funding, which would be a real economic driver in Virginia. And it's estimated that that money coming into the state could support 30,000 new jobs, and those jobs generate new revenue for the state. And as I described above, there are lots of state programs, the mental health services, indigent care services, health services provided to prisoners, and other aspects of state-funded health programs that could be offset by the Medicaid expansion and the federal dollars that are available to the state to fund the expansion for that population of lower-income, uninsured people in our state. You can understand how important the Medicaid expansion is, because without it, we are left with a really terrible gap in coverage. You have the health insurance exchange for the marketplace available to serve people at 100% of the poverty line and higher, and people up to 400% of poverty get tax credits. Then you have our current Medicaid program, which for low-income parents is 30% of the poverty line, but really 0% of the poverty line is for so many of those childless adults. And in between is what's supposed to be filled by the Medicaid expansion. I mean, as originally designed, the ACA provided coverage to people all across the income ranges, but the Supreme Court made the Medicaid expansion optional, and without it, you are left with this giant hole in our healthcare system, which we call the Medicaid gap.
You've been listening to Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining at a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys how Medicaid expansion could cover more than 400,000 currently uninsured adults in Virginia. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of health law attorney Jill Hankin of the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining how Medicaid expansion could cover more than 400,000 currently uninsured adults in Virginia.
The 2013 General Assembly did consider the Medicaid expansion. The governor started the session saying he would not expand Medicaid without significant reforms to the Medicaid program. And while our campaign for Medicaid expansion was successful in many ways, and we did get a lot of bipartisan support from the General Assembly and from the Chamber of Commerce and other business leaders, ultimately, the budget language that was adopted by the General Assembly did approve expansion, but only if many Medicaid reform conditions are met. Some of the kinds of reforms the legislature enumerated included a dual-eligible project for individuals who receive both Medicaid and Medicare, requiring managed care to provide their services as a way to potentially save money, to actually combine Medicaid money and Medicare money to serve that population. And this is a project that's being worked on right now by DMAS. The General Assembly also wanted more fraud prevention activities, want services to look more like commercial insurance, and wanted to be stricter in terms of certain access to behavioral health and transportation, and generally to expand managed care to more populations. Even though in Virginia we do have managed care for most of the Medicaid population right now, but there's a laundry list in the budget of about 12, 14 different specific Medicaid reforms, which if implemented as required could lead us to Medicaid expansion. And there is a legislative commission called the Medicaid Innovation and Reform Commission that has been put together to actually be the oversight commission looking at these Medicaid reforms. So there are 10 legislators who've met in June and August, and they're meeting again in a few weeks in October, looking at these Medicaid reforms and deciding whether or not enough has been done to justify the expansion. We also understand that sometime in October there may be a public hearing where the Merck will hear live from the public, so we'll let you know about that opportunity as well. So the way the budget language is written, the Merck has the authority to expand Medicaid if the reform conditions are met, but several legislators and the Attorney General have questioned whether or not the authority outlined in the budget is constitutional or not. And then, of course, there is the governor's election coming up in November, which is likely to have a big impact on the outcome. The new governor will have the opportunity to submit, well, Governor McDonnell will submit the budget, his last budget, in December, but the new governor will be able to amend that budget as he wishes after inauguration. So those are other factors that will influence the outcome of all this. Here's a list of legislators who are on the Innovation and Reform Commission. On the House side, Beverly Sherwood she lost her primary to run again, and her position has not been replaced as far as we know. But there are 5 senators and 5 delegates, in addition to Secretary Hazel and the Secretary of Finance, Richard Brown. So these are the folks who are serving on the Merck right now, evaluating the Medicaid reforms and deciding whether or not to expand Medicaid. Generally, there seems to be more support on the Senate side than on the House side. So public comment is quite important, because this is a big issue for all legislators and candidates, and the media and the general public have gotten engaged in this issue. So again, I encourage folks who are interested in this to submit comments to the Reform Commission, to send letters into your local newspapers, and importantly, to share stories about the people who could gain coverage through the Medicaid expansion, and the problem with leaving that huge gap in our system, which would leave so many lower-income Virginians uninsured. Some of the messages that are useful to continue to share with others is the ideas are the following ideas. To accept the federal funding, it's money that is available to cover more uninsured Virginians. And this is a way to use the federal tax dollars that we pay, to use those tax payments in our state, and instead of supporting expansions in other states. We know that having health insurance contributes greatly to financial security and emotional security for people who are working really hard. And without health insurance, there's so much worry about paying for medical bills, the risks of bankruptcy when people get sick. And this coverage gap, I just think, is really compelling. To me, it leaves hundreds of thousands of Virginia's poorest residents without any health care option. And the money available from the federal government is quite significant in terms of generating economic activity and creating jobs, all which would help Virginia's overall economy.
You've been listening to Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, explaining at a recent meeting of Virginia legal aid attorneys how Medicaid expansion could cover more than 400,000 currently uninsured adults in Virginia. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
I'm Michelle King for the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Here's this week's legal aid success story, a true tale where justice prevailed. Juanita and Ron lived on a couple of acres of land near Portland, Oregon, where they own and operated an auto repair shop. Ron did the repairs while Juanita handled the bookkeeping and took care of the kids. In 1996, Ron had two heart attacks, leaving him weakened and unable to work the same long hours he had in the past. Juanita tried to keep the auto shop going using hired mechanics, but they lost customers who had been loyal to Ron. Eventually, the couple lost their business and their home, causing Anita to suffer a heart attack as well. At first, the Oregon Health Plan covered the couple's medical bills and prescription drugs, but the state budget shortfall in 2003 caused them to lose all of their benefits. Juanita only learned after being charged $140 for one of her seven prescriptions and an amount she could not afford to pay without a steady income.
Eventually, Juanita contacted Legal Aid Services of Oregon, whose attorneys were able to restore the couple's medical coverage, allowing them to purchase the prescription drugs they desperately needed. When the attorney called, it was the best phone call I ever had, Juanita said. I was sitting there with a heart rate of 120, and I couldn't afford to pick up the medicine. It was a lifesaver. Ron agreed. Just knowing that legal aid is out there to help gives you more confidence so that you can breathe a little bit easier. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's legal aid success story, a true tale where justice prevailed.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral for, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Virginia's domestic violence protective order statutes cover both family abuse and non-family abuse. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when Palma Pistolnik, staff attorney at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society's Charlottesville office, explains how to handle your own petition for a protective order if you're not able to get representation by an attorney. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wakeford.